following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to turn 51 of A Worthy Opponent, a very casual podcast for the Hearthstone and Blizzard game. And with turn 51, I'm starting to think that I've run out of cards. So with me in the studio is Autumn's Bane and Micmac. Autumn's Bane?
It traps your food and cooks it for you.
And that is the favored card of...
Drumroll, please.
Our wonderful winner of our
the third seasonal casual Worthy Opponent Hearthstone tournament.
And not only did Frid win our tournament, but Frid was, he never lost a game.
Flawless victory.
But
undefeated.
Undefeated. And that's the voice of Micmac.
Well,
cheers.
Met.
Hey, Micmac.
I don't want to hear from Micmac.
Well, I want to hear from... We'll hear from Frid, but first you got to tell us what that card is.
Okay. That was Explosive Trap. 2 casting cost. Explosive Trap is a secret, uncommon card. When your hero is attacked, deal 2 damage to all enemies. And, we'll let Frid talk about that in a few minutes, but I'll say that's an excellent choice because I will not play a Hunter deck ever without this card in it.
Yep, and as we're talking, the Hunter deck is the one that stormed the tournament. And yeah, great, Frid, no losses at all, at all. And how many opponents did you actually play against?
So I played 4 opponents. The first match was a bye because he was a no-show.
Ah.
So the deck went 8-0.
Nice.
Very impressive.
Never even had to pull out your backup deck.
Right. I brought the Hunter deck and then a Warlock as the backup. But I led with the Hunter every time and didn't have to use a Warlock at all.
Nice. Yeah. I see that your decks are titled Pizza and Dead Zoo. So why don't we talk about that for a minute? So why would you title your Hunter deck Pizza? I don't see any mushrooms or pepperoni or sausage. Maybe just some cheese.
It's a cheesy deck.
I figure it could be confusing, the name. But it is actually, it's the name from the game. A friend of mine, his name is Pizza. So I shout out to him. He helped me tweak my Hunter deck. So that's why I called it that.
So you named the deck after him, Pizza. That's great.
He sounds delicious. I'll have 2 slices, please.
So were you nervous going in?
Yeah, so I didn't know what to expect going into a tournament. So it was a little bit scary. And then the first opponent didn't show up. So I had to wait a little bit longer after the start time to get going.
Yeah, you were a little nervous, like, how long do I wait for my opponent? What's going on?
Yeah, I kept writing Autumn's Bane, like, what's going on? What do I do? But once we got into it, the first guy person I faced was Crossley, and he also had a Hunter. And the thing is, this particular Hunter had that crazy Undertaker coin web spinner start.
Oh, wow.
And this Undertaker grew to be a 5'6" Undertaker that hit me in the face. And I didn't have a response really until turn 4 or 5 that I managed to kill command it and hit it with some minion. And somehow by the end of that game, I turned the game around. I don't even know how.
That is super impressive. That Undertaker was just growing exponentially, and just to be able to kill it, that saved you right there.
Is this one of the games you were able to actually watch?
No, we couldn't see it, but I can just imagine a nice big meaty Undertaker just coming at you every turn.
Yeah, so I just wanted to tell the listening audience that we were fortunate that a couple of the players actually were able to stream, and so a couple of the games of the tournament did get actually recorded on Twitch, mm-hmm. and including some of Frid's, right? Or at least one?
Yes. The game with Frid versus Forrest, which is a little later down the line.
Now, Frid, this was your first tournament with us. This was your first tournament ever of any kind in Hearthstone?
I tried playing an ESL tournament, preseason cup, something like that. I won a couple of rounds, but then got eliminated. Those have, 400 players or something like that.
That's still impressive. So now you've been playing since what, May?
Yeah, so I got in very late in the beta, and then it became open, and then it became the actual game got released. But what really, really got me into it was when it got released for the iPad, which is mostly where I play.
Whimper, 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 whimper.
Really? So you mostly play on the iPad because I know Autumnsbane plays on the iPad too sometimes, and I've been told that it's a little clunky and sometimes it crashes on occasions.
I've heard if you have an iPad 3 or 2 or mini, those can be problematic. It's an iPad Air. I've never had trouble with it. There's the occasional disconnect, but 98% of the time it works fine.
Now, Autumnsbane won't play during his lunch breaks because he won't play in ranked because there's too much of a risk of it crashing on him.
Well, let's rephrase that. I won't play in ranked when I've actually achieved a decent rank. When I'm low on the ladder, I'll still play ranked.
Because it won't does, matter so much.
And I don't know if it's the hospital I work at, if it's their Wi-Fi, but there have been times when I've disconnected and I have looked to see if I was disconnected and it didn't appear that I was. But and I'd heard that from other people, but you use the Air, which is actually the newest iPad version, isn't it?
I actually think they just came out with a new one, but yeah, it's almost the latest generation.
Yeah, so you might have a leg up on me.
So yeah, you played eight really games, well. Right?
I'm sorry,
you played 8 games?
Yep,
Was there any time while you were playing that you were like, yep, I've got it in the bag, or were you nervous every single time that you were playing?
So like I was saying, the first match, the 5-6 Undertaker, I had no business winning that game. I think it was... I managed to get the Sludge Belcher out, and I Houndmaster one of the beasts, and then the Savannah Hindmane came down, and somehow I turned it around. On the next game with Crossley, he was playing Shaman, and I got the double Undertaker into something with the Rattle Start, and I think he conceded on turn 2 or 3.
Oh, wow.
He was probably kind of reeling from... He should have won the first game, but didn't, so.
Emotions can definitely get to some people, and not just in Hearthstone, but anything, really. Poker, chess, I mean, even a normal casual game sometimes, they can make people upset. But that's surprising that he would concede that early and not try to stick it out.
I don't know. It's emotions run high, and maybe we're reading into it more emotion than it's actually out there, but we try to talk to some of the people afterwards, kind of like an exit. You know, how was it? Did you have fun or whatever? And a couple of people just vanish. It's like they lost and then boom, gone.
And then gone. And we actually had somebody suggest that we perhaps do not a losers. I don't want to call them losers, but.
Well, that's what they are. They didn't win, so they lost. They're losers.
All right, a losers side tournament. Not really a tournament, but. Allow them to be able to play each other so that they can continue having fun.
Tournament for the defeated.
Yes, a tournament for the defeated. So not really a tournament, but just so that they can keep playing. I would say that anybody interested next time that we have a tournament should let us know if they'd be interested so that we can tell people stay around and we'll match you up against people so you can keep playing with people in the circuit. Because that could be fun too.
Or, since you can see the real ID names of everybody on the ladder through Battlefy, just friend them all and then ask to play with them. But we don't want to actually run a tournament while we're running a tournament. It's enough that I kept any hair.
Yeah, the three of us were all, three of us were all going, and that's with three people. What, you know, Autumn's Bane was manning the actual site to keep progression going, but the three of us were trying to keep in touch with, 30 people. It was fun. Duke, but Brid, come on, talk to us. Tell us more about your experience.
Right, so, you know, after that first match, and this may start running together because I didn't write it all down, but I played Shiba Tank, I think it was.
Yep, you played Shiba
and
Tank
I
next.
Played, he, this one I remember, he had a warrior, and I got, again, that crazy Undertaker coin into something with Death Rattle, and he didn't have the axe or any answer. And I think it was a turn 5 victory. It was pretty devastating for him. So that one went by quick. But then I think it was Force that you were saying received me with a Druid deck. And what he did in turn 1 was he pulled out a Spectral Knight with 2 innervates.
That's right.
That's the one we
that.
Saw. We were watching that.
So I'm thinking at that point, well, I'll bring out the zoo, you know, for the next match because this thing is done. But the mad scientist pulled out my freezing trap, and he kept trying to play around it by playing other minions, but somehow I managed to kill that other minion. So again, he couldn't get, you know, he was too scared of the trap, never kind of attacked with the Spectral Knight, so he just sat there dead. And again, Savannah High Main and something like that ended up turning it around, a game that I thought I had lost in turn 1.
So just to, because we have a lot of people who might not know every card, tell us about the Alchemist move. What exactly happened there, if you can get into the details? What's the Alchemist do, and how did it pull the trap in?
What's the synergy there, too?
Right, so the, you know, my deck has a lot of Death Rattle minions to synergize with the Undertaker. So you want to try to get that on turn 1 when you open up. Because that's the one that grows every time you play a Death Rattle. The scientist, specifically, is the one that, when he dies, he pulls out a secret from your deck and puts it in play. So I attack with him into the Spectral Knight, and it pulled out the Freezing Trap. Now I play 2 traps. I play Freezing Trap and Snake Trap. So the Freezing Trap was key because it would have sent Spectral Knight back, and it would make it cost 2 more, making it a 7 cost minion. So that's why he was trying to avoid running that into it.
Yes, I see here.
He was assuming that he had that he knew the secrets. What secrets you were playing?
Yeah, I think he figured it may be freezing.
Yeah, because we watched. He tested. He threw a minion at you, so it couldn't have been the explosive trap. So then he kind of used deduction to figure out what you probably had left.
Mm.
And I see here that you have 13 minions with Death Rattle on your deck. So that those Undertakers can get pretty big pretty fast.
Oh yeah, so the early game, the point of the pizza deck is you try to build that early board control with the Undertaker and all these Death Rattle minions. Those are the ones that make you control the board early. And the scientist pulls out the traps that also help you control the board. Once you get that early game sort of set, then you have things like Savannah Highmane, Sludge Belcher, I play a Lothev and some Houndmasters to try to help you in the mid to late game.
Yeah, it looks like a very solid deck. So the reason that you run the Snake Trap, could you talk about that for a minute? Because you don't really have a lot of like beast synergies aside from the Houndmaster.
Yeah, so the only reason to do that is to confuse people with the Freezing Trap. So you play 2 different ones. So they run it and they see that it's Snake, and then they see another secret and they think it's Snake again, and it's actually Freezing. And for those who don't know, the Snake Trap is the one when you attack a minion, it pulls out 3 1/1 snakes.
So you're looking to do a bait and switch?
Yeah, it's to keep people going. It's a bluff
card. That's awesome. That is awesome.
I used to use the snake trap a lot to synergize well with the buzzard, but and also the knife thrower. But I somewhere along the line, I just took the snake trap out. But yeah, Mi'kmaq and I were thinking the same thing. How does the snake trap fit into this puzzle that you've made? Because it's a very cunning deck. I'm looking at all the cards, and they seem to all have a purpose. Just couldn't figure out what that one was.
Yeah, this was one that I kind of threw in there. It's only for confusion purposes. There's nothing else going on.
Nice.
I was expecting it to be maybe for like a kill command synergy, or if you ever had to taunt something up, you have the Houndmaster and you can make the snake a 3-3 with taunt from a 1-1 with nothing else.
Well, it is actually a very efficient trap that gives you 3-1-1s for two. And
that
the fact that they're beast and the mad scientist pulls it out for free, it just works out. You don't want to have it in your opening hand or draw it, but you do want it to get played for free.
And, you know, so having a few traps when you've got the eagle horn bow are definitely helpful.
Exactly. It also synergizes very well with the bow to get extra charges.
It's a very solid deck, and it's easy to see why it went 8-0 in this tournament. It's very, very strong. I'll take two slices of pizza, please, immediately.
So I have another question about pizza. I noticed today you're at rank 12 already. The season's barely begun. Is it pizza getting you there, or are you winning with something else?
So I have been, I led off the season with pizza again, just to, I believe that Hunter is probably the strongest class right now. The synergy with the Death Rattles and the Mad Scientist that pulls Secret into play and works with the bow, I just feel like currently it's the strongest deck.
And so the irony is we were talking doom and gloom about Hunters just a few short episodes ago.
Yes.
I know, and I have a feeling that the Mad Scientist may get changed, again affecting the Hunter for the billionth time.
That's always possible.
Because they seem to really love doing that.
But at least the Mad Hunter is a neutral card.
I've got to say this. They have so screwed the Hunter in WoW that they make up for the Hunter in Hearthstone. What do you think, Autumns? You play them in both?
Well, you know, the changes they made recently are based on level 100 at the end of Warlords of Draenor, so ask me again when we hit 100.
Okay.
So if you haven't, you know, already figured it out, my favorite food is pizza. But eventually, we all get sick of pizza. You can't eat pizza all the time.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
So,
different toppings, change it up.
All right. So let's just say that for whatever reason, you couldn't have pizza, right? What would you be using on the ladder? Would you be using your Dead Zoo deck that we have here, or would you be using something else?
So can we talk about the last match real quick and then get back to that?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
So the final match was Soft Shell, and he started off with a Shaman deck. So I again lucked out and had the crazy Undertaker into Leper Gnome with the coin on the first turn for me. So I felt pretty good about that. But he came out with the Lightning Bolt on the Undertaker, which is 3 damage and killed it, and an Earth Shock on the Leper Gnome, which silenced it and killed it, leaving me with no board.
Now that's rough for you. That's
tough beginning.
How did you come back from that?
So then later on, he quickly put up the Feral Spirits, which is the 2/3 little wolves with taunt that just sit there. And I was not feeling good about that. I think I had my bow or something like that to kill that. And I built the board a little bit, and he had the Lightning Storm on top of that, clearing my board yet again.
So I'm feeling like this game...
I love the Shaman, I'm sorry.
So I'm feeling this is going nowhere here. I will have to play my Warlock. But again, on the back of some Sludge Belcher, that I only run one of those, but it's very important to get you back in the game. And Savannah Highmane, I mean, once that thing hits the board and they don't have anything to deal with it, it's very troublesome. Now, I gotta say that one thing, it's a tip for people out there. I had the high main that I could play on turn 6. But against the Shaman, you want to be very careful if they haven't played any Hexes. And that's exactly what I did. I started playing like Haunted Creeper and other stuff. And what you want to do with Shaman is keep hitting that hero power every turn that you can, because it puts them on the clock and they have no way to heal.
Right. So the Savannah High Main, for people unfamiliar with the card, you don't want that turned into a sheep or a toad or something, because its death rattle is phenomenal also.
It gives you two little hyenas.
It's a 6-5 minion or a 5-6, I forget. And you get 2-2-2 hyenas when it dies. So it's a very powerful hunter card if you use it right.
Right, so if you have not much of a board, throw it out there on turn 6 against a Shaman, he'll just turn it into a frog, and basically you lost 6 mana, you didn't do anything, and you're very sad. So I started playing some of the other cards and hitting him with the hero power. I think he ended up hexing the Sludge Belcher or some other thing, and then I felt better about playing the Savannah High Main. And then that, once that hits, I mean, it hits you for 6, it's pretty much game over.
There's not much the Shaman can do once both hexes are gone. One lightning bolt, lightning storms. I mean,
the silence.
Yep. So then on the second match with Softshell, he played really well. He brought out a Warlock. I think it was some kind of combination of Zoo and a Demon Lock, because he played that Void Caller, which is the card that pulls a demon out of your hand and puts it into play.
Great card.
But he got unlucky because it pulled out the Void Terror.
Oh.
Which is the minion that eats the things on the sides and makes and grows. But when it's played with the Void Caller, it doesn't trigger the ability. So it just sat there as a 3-3 with nothing.
Yeah, that's a bad deal.
And then this is where the Freezing Trap came in to save the day again. He did a Power Overwhelming on it, which makes it grow to a 7-7 that dies at the end of the turn, to run it into my Misha, I think, my Taunt Bear, but it got frozen and sent back to his hand.
So that was a lifesaver. I mean, now Softshell still had that Void Terror, but you're not getting hit for 7 damage, and Misha's still alive.
Right, and it cost 2 more. So they were 2 very close games, but he got a little unlucky on that one with the Warlock.
And just as a shout-out to Softshell really quickly. Softshell also was pretty much undefeated for, I think, until he or she. I thought Softshell might have been a female.
I thought, no, he. Well, Softshell started out, understand, Softshell had to face every opponent, didn't get anybody who was a no-show. So she had to, he had to fight long and hard to get to face our champion here. And so he took out first time Frid is playing in our tournament. Softshell was also brand new. So Softshell took out somebody who was also brand new. We had a lot of new people in the first round. Then went up against our man, who's a veteran here, and beat our man 2-0. So 2-0 against K Darlin, 2-0 against our man, and then 2-1 against Echo, who was also new. And then 2-1 against Breezy, and that was in the semifinals. Breezy's also very accomplished. Breezy was kicking ass all the way through. So great move to take out Breezy, and then up against Frid. It's like, I was so wishing for spectator mode by the end of this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Some of the matchups were like, we know epic. Some of these players now from past experience, and when we saw two of them get matched up against each other sometimes, we're like,
Fours. Yep.
But we had no idea who Frid or Softshell were, so it was exciting. We're like, who are these people that are coming out of nowhere and kicking ass against all these people we know? You know, so it was exciting for us.
It
you
shook
should have
things
heard
up.
Us in team speak the whole time.
All right, so you were asking about what else would I take to the ladder.
Yeah, once you get sick of pizza.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about my other deck that I brought, which is the Dead Zoo, which would be the one that I would bring as the second choice. Again, it's a similar theme where you have Undertakers and a lot of Death Rattle minions that you're trying to buff up that Undertaker. One of the unique things about this particular one is that I run Zombie Chow, which is a 2-3 minion that costs 1, but it heals the opponent for 5, which would seem like it works against you on a Zoo deck. But the reason for that is twofold. One is when you're playing against Hunters, it helps you control the board early because it's a 2-3 on turn 1. And then it also synergizes very well with the Undertaker to make it grow.
Yes, that's a very good point. I'm noticing here that you don't have any Power Overwhelmings in this deck. You want to talk about that for a minute at all? As a Zoo player myself, I play Control Warrior. That's my bread and butter. But then my second go-to deck is a Zoolock deck. So similar to yours, minus some of the Death Rattles. But Power Overwhelming is such a staple card in that deck for me. I can't even tell you how many games it's won me.
Yeah, so the reason why... I've thought about putting maybe one in here, and I tested different things. The problem is that a lot of times it sits in your hand and it's a dead card because you can't do anything with it. So it's good for finishing or getting through taunts. But what I've done to kind of get in through taunts is to have an Iron Beak Owl that lets me silence and kind of finish the game. So because I don't want dead cards in my hand, I cut the Power Overwhelmings.
Yeah, just a point. The Power Overwhelming is also very useful with the two Nerubian Eggs you have. It enables them to attack and then destroys them, getting you your 4-4. Just a thought.
Yeah, so the I use the general, the Abusive Sergeants, which give it +2. The Dark Iron Dwarf does the same thing.
And the Defender of Argus.
Defender of Argus, yeah, those are my three enablers for the egg. And it also serves as an anti-explosive trap, anti-blade flurries, hellfires, things like that. You just let it sit there, and it'll make them think twice before clearing your board. You know, Circle of Healing that kills everything, that sticks around.
So you really put thought into what other classes would be doing against your deck when you're designing it. That's pretty wise.
Very, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people I've seen play the Nerubian Egg a little bit too fast, trying to get it to pop, you know, to get that 4-4. And sometimes just letting it sit there, it prevents your board from getting cleared.
Mm-hmm, agreed, because people are afraid of it becoming the 4-4.
So the two deck choices that we have, the Hunter and the Warlock here. Now, one could say that the Hunter isn't really an aggro deck. Could be more mid-rangey. It is pretty quick with the Undertaker and the coining out of the Leper Gnome and such. But the Zoo is definitely aggro. How come you didn't want to bring like maybe a control deck in? Like a nice slow Priest deck or Control Warrior? Why the Zoo?
So this is what I've had the most success with in the latter. So I'm very comfortable with both of these decks. But the reason for that is, number one, I don't have all the cards for a Control Warrior that has a million legendaries that cost a lot. And the second reason is the games just take too long. You know, with a full-time job and wife and a kid, it's hard to find time to play. So I go for the efficiency, and that's why the aggressive decks I like to do.
No priest against priest for you.
No, and this is something I noted. With the exception of Lothib, whom you get through Naxxramas, so technically you get that for free, just with skill and gold, not from actually having to buy packs or anything and relying on luck. With the exception of Lothib, between the two decks, that's the only legendary, isn't it?
That's right. So it's a good showing that you don't need to have a lot of legendary cards to have success. I actually don't know if there's an epic card in here.
I was just looking, and the Snake Trap's an epic.
Yeah.
That's true, and like as we discussed, you could change that for another freezing.
Which is, it was funny because it's a bluff card. That's great.
your bluff card is your one epic. So that's
Doomguards are rare, right? They're not epic.
Yes.
Yeah. So here you come into our tournament for the first time. You upset many of the favorites. You beat a former champion, or no, you didn't actually face him, but a former champion.
Well, technically.
Former champion gets beaten along the way. Certainly, you beat Fours, who beat Dustin the White and took him out. And you do this all with a very economical pair of decks, one of which you never even had to touch. So I'd say you have some stuff to be proud of.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Well played.
Well, thank you for that. I was really excited to do so well. I didn't know what to expect coming in. I do want to thank you guys for putting this together. I think, you know, I have followed you, like I said, from about May or so. And, you know, you always bill yourselves as casual. But I think there's something here that's both entertaining and I think for everybody. So I love to support things like that.
Thank you.
For the community.
Appreciate it. So let's talk about some of your personal accomplishments in the game. I take it you do a lot of ladder since we're talking about that. What's the highest rank you've achieved?
So I've gotten to legend rank.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, you have. Okay.
Oh.
I think it was very clever of you not to display
not
your legendary card
legend back. Yes.
Oh, so you saw that I had, I think I had either the pumpkin or the pirate.
Yeah, I always thought that if I were going to go into a tournament that was billed as a casual tournament, and I wasn't assured that I was going to win, I don't think I'd want to play my legendary card back, because that would, give people an extra clue. Because I'm the kind of player who wants to be low-key and not have people know, you know, if I were in a duel, maybe I'd start out left-handed. No, just kidding. But
but of course, you'd need a legendary card back to even do that.
But yeah, coming in as an unknown and not showing your achievement like that, I think that's good strategy.
Well
too.
Done.
Yeah, I did run into somebody that had the golden portrait and the legendary card, so that kind of be a little intimidating, but. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen it before, so it's just like any other game.
The first tournament, Blacklace and I actually participated because we didn't have a lot of people in it. And she, on the second round, I think, played someone who was legendary. And the moan of despair that I heard from her was just amazing. She was frightened. She won one of the games, but not the match. But it is very intimidating to see that card.
The real intimidating was the first time I ever came up against a golden hero, which happened to be a mage. I was scared, but then I actually won the game, and it was in regular play, so it wasn't a matter of I'd be able to challenge and play again. But, oh, wow, what a feeling to actually win that, because I was so intimidated. I just looked at that and said, I'm done. I was like ready to concede before I even started, just because I saw a golden hero. It was the first one I'd ever seen.
Yeah, the last tournament, I was matched up against Fours. And for those of you that don't know, I know that Fours has been playing for quite some time. He is legend. And he actually played against Trump a while back, maybe just about a year ago or so, in some sort of a tournament. And he was the first player that I queued up against, and I was nervous when I saw that legendary card back, and when he easily beat my control warrior deck, I thought, oh, I'm done. Quick night. What am I gonna do tonight? Maybe we'll go out afterwards, but that wasn't the case.
Hey, I beat Trump once.
Yes, you
well,
did.
We don't know was that yeah, Trump.
But we still don't know. It was probably some other Trump.
But because... you'll never know.
But I'll never know. I'll just never
no,
know.
You so can make yourself feel better by just thinking it was him.
So here's another question for Frid. I'm looking at your decks, and I'm listening to the way you described your play and your philosophies of how you come up with the deck, and you're clearly someone who's thinking several moves ahead. You're like a chess player. So do you play other strategy games that help you in this mindset playing Hearthstone?
Actually, no. A good friend of mine recommended this game to me, probably because I'm pretty decent at math, and you know, I guess I can think analytically, I don't know about strategically. But yeah, that's I don't play any other kinds of games that require this kind of strategy.
No chess or checkers even.
Connect Four.
Poker.
My
Connect
daughter.
Four. There you go. I loved that game when I was a kid. So, yeah, being analytical is the first step toward being strategic, I think. So you've got the right mindset for it. Math people tend to do very good in these games. I've seen it a lot. Games of this magnitude, they sit there and they micromanage, well, how much value am I getting out of this mana? And they'll sit there and they'll lay out which cards they picked and why, based on some kind of archaic mathematical formula. So mathematicians that I've known are all tend to be good at games. So
maybe that's what my problem is.
Yeah, that you're bad at math.
Yeah. So do you have any questions for us?
Well, the other thing I was going to say that even though I brought a warlock and a hunter, my favorite class is the rogue.
Really?
What sort of rogue deck do you like to play?
So my favorite rogue is when I started playing the game, there was this tempo rogue that ran, it's not the miracle version, but it was more of it had the Faiz ringleader that brings like tokens into play and things like that. And it ran the two blade flurries, which is a thing that destroys your weapon and damages the whole board, which is also one of my favorite cards because it clears everything out. So I really enjoy playing that style of rogue.
Rogue is a pretty tricky deck to play well. It's got so many nuances because of the order you have to play the cards in and making the combos work. In fact, we have a fan who at the very beginning of this game was like, I hate rogues, I'm never going to play a rogue. And then he says, all right, let me give it another try. And he sat down and he put a lot of effort into making a good deck, and then he became hooked on it. And he just loves playing the rogue ever after. So I have a rogue deck, and I know it takes a lot of work. Did you have Van Cleef for your deck?
Not at that time when I started. It should have had a Cairn Bloodhoof, but I didn't even have that. So it was just, I think I put a Spiteful Smith that makes your weapon +2 when it's damaged in its place. And it's a 4/6 minion. But I really wanted a Cairn. Just didn't have the gold or the dust.
And do you still play the rogue a lot?
So I haven't been playing it as much because I try, like I said, to be very efficient when I go into the ladder. And I find when I discover the hunter and how strong it is, especially after Naxx, it's the one that you go to for those quick sessions of laddering up.
All right. Yeah, very interesting. And what rank did you get with that rogue deck? Do you remember the highest you achieved?
I think when it's probably May, it was rank 8, 7 or 8.
It's very impressive, and you didn't have any legendaries in that deck, correct?
Correct. I then tried in June with the Zoo. I learned about that deck by watching some YouTube video, and it didn't require legendaries, so I still needed to make like Doom Guards and things like that. But I managed to get that in, and I got to rank 2 back then.
What's the deck, the hero that got you to legendary?
It was the Hunter.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Pizza Hunter?
So there has been a variety of them. I have another one that I call Cara, which is actually the Spanish word for face. And it's just a face hunter that ran Wolf Riders, which is a 3-1 that goes to the face with charge, Arcane Golems, and things like that. So when it's a mirror match, that tends to beat the other hunter because it's too fast. And it was also very good when Miracle Rogue was all the rage.
So as an analytical player, do you use any websites or anything to track your stats? Maybe some spreadsheets, anything like that?
So when I reached rank 8 in that season, I said, well, maybe I should get seriously into this game. And I decided to spend money for the first time, and I bought 40 packs, which I think cost $50. I got a Black Knight, a Tyrion, I think that was it, So I started incorporating that into the tempo deck, and then reading more about what potential decks I could make with the cards that I had. Hearthpwn, I think, is one of the sites that posts a lot of decks where you can go look and kind of pick a class and an archetype, like, do you want to be aggressive or control? And it gives you lots of ideas for what people are playing.
I found it quite amusing what you said just now. Once I hit rank 8, I decided to get serious. And rank 8 to me sounds pretty darn serious.
Well, serious as in I want to try to get to legend.
Serious. Yeah. So there are people listening who may never hit rank 8. That's really an impressive rank to get to.
That's true. When those statistics came out from Blizzard, I found it pretty interesting of how low the percentage of those high ranks really is.
So what did you want to ask us? And I'm sure there was some things on your mind.
So yeah, just like I said, I like supporting you guys, even though I guess maybe I've graduated from casual at this point, but...
Sounded like that, yeah.
I still feel like a casual because it's not like I play 8 hours a day or anything like that. It's only nights when I can get away to play here and there. So what did get you guys into creating this podcast? I find that really interesting.
Well, Micmac probably has the best... No, wait, never mind.
Oh, shots fired.
Wow!
No, first of all, Blacklace and I have history of wanting to do theatrical stuff. We kind of like to do stuff where we're the center of attention. We're humble, but with egos anyway.
But so. We want the spotlight,
but
right?
We want oh the spotlight, God. Even though we're very humble. No, and so I tried doing a podcast about Warcraft.
I'm right now crawling solo. Under my desk.
Yep, solo a couple of years ago, and it was terrible, and I didn't even publish it because it was so terrible. But I always kind of wanted to do it because I started listening to other podcasts. I'm like, in some of the cases, like, oh, I want to do that. And other cases were like, I could do that better. And I just had to wait for the right subject, because by then, Warcraft had so many people doing podcasts. I'm like, well, I don't want to go in and do something where everybody else is. So I just kind of kept it as something I wanted to do. And then for a while, Blacklace was playing another
World.
Game, and I'll let you take over from here.
Oh, well, okay. So for a while I was playing the Seek World, and I heard Xander, who is our fearless leader on Holosuite Media, looking for a player from the game to add to his podcasting list of people. So I emailed him and we chatted, and I started doing, I probably did about maybe 20, 25 episodes. I'm not sure if I even did that much. I'm not sure. Of the Secret World podcast. And then I got sucked into Beyond the Veil. Yes. Then I got sucked into Warcraft again, which pulled me out of Beyond the Secret World and Beyond the Veil. But I kind of missed hanging with Xander. I kind of missed the podcasting. Got invited very, very early into the Hearthstone beta. And poor Autumn's Bane would look over my shoulder and say, "Damn, I wish I was in this." And then he'd go, No, I don't want to watch you play. I don't want to watch you play. I want to be able to learn on my own experience." And he finally got in. And when he got in, I was like, "You know, I kind of miss doing the Beyond the Veil thing. Why don't we talk to Xander and see if he'd put us in?" And that was over a year ago now.
And I think Xander had been wanting to get a Blizzard game into his stable of podcast subjects. So it kind of worked out.
Yep. That's awesome.
And then we pulled Micmac in.
Now, Micmac had told us he had been interested in doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, well, we don't want him to compete against us, so why don't we pull him
we
in?
We did not. We so did not. I can go into the other room and hit him if you want me to, Micmac.
No, it's okay. I'll just pretend that you did. I don't want to inflict any harm on him.
Okay.
But yeah, I was interested in doing a podcast, and I went out and I bought some things, you know, like a nice professional microphone, which I'm no longer using, but that's another story. But it's pretty tough to get a podcast going and off the ground and finding like a niche, you know, for your listeners, and it's not that easy to have a good product. So I was fortunate enough to win the tournament, and I was able to get on the show. And that's when I mentioned, like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I thought about doing it, you know. And then after I met them, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do a podcast. It's way too much work to get it going, you know. And then they invited me to be a co-host permanently. So thank you. And that's my little story.
Now, to just go into a little bit more detail about this specific podcast, while Blacklace was playing Hearthstone and I was not, I was listening to the other podcasts, or starting to, and I was amazed at how early on in the beta these new podcasts were coming on and talking like pros immediately. And they're good, I'm not disparaging them at all, but the problem was they were too good for me, who knew almost nothing about the game. I said, wow, I would think that there should be a podcast out there that kind of help teach people from the ground floor, not assuming that they know every card and every strategy and the name of every deck before they even get their feet on the ground. So when Blackley said, what do you think? You want to do a podcast? I said, yeah, but let's gear it toward more casual players for two reasons. One, there's a need. And two, that's all we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys, that's really good, because I do listen to some other shows, not just you guys. And definitely you, I think, the only one that it's very geared towards the more casual beginner. But I find it really entertaining, so I keep
good.
Listening.
Glad Thank to you. Hear it. Thank you.
So we're starting to run out of time, and there were some other things we wanted to talk about. And Frid, as we talk about these things, feel free to jump in.
Mm-hmm. So Autumn's Bane, my big cry is about the iPad, because my iPad is the old original first time ever iPad that is not supported by Hearthstone, so I don't have the luxury of playing at work. I mean, during lunch, of course. And I have been whining, I'll say it, I've been QQing about the Android for almost a year now, and maybe we have some hope on the horizon, Autumn's Bane?
Yeah, PC Gamer did an article, and it was on October 20th, so this is probably old news for some people. But the headline says it all. Hearthstone to arrive on Android before the end of the year. iPhone to follow. Now, they've been saying very adamantly that they would be doing something for the Android platform for some time. But when asked about the iPhone, they've always kind of been like, well, we're not so sure. And they're pretty much committed to getting this Android thing out as fast as possible, but the phone is going to take time because they don't want the feel of the game to be diminished by such a small interface. And the way the game runs now, you really can't run it the same way on a phone. I mean, the cards would be so tiny you couldn't even tell
exactly
what they were.
But I'm hoping that they're going to actually always do the big announcements at BlizzCon, which is this coming weekend. And I'm hoping that at this BlizzCon, they're going to say, hey, folks, on Tuesday's patch, we're also going to throw in the Android. That's my big, big, big hope.
And I believe that they will actually have Android devices at BlizzCon having people try it. Because
last year, people
were using the iPad to play Hearthstone.
That's true, they were.
Yeah, they were.
So maybe my Kindle can finally have Hearthstone on it. So I can go on the treadmill. I can be on the treadmill and I can play some Hearthstone instead of
your
just
Kindle
watching
Fire?
Streams. Yep, Kindle Fire.
Because my Kindle is just as old as my iPad.
But if it doesn't happen, you know, Frid and I are fine with it. We have our iPads.
Lucky.
Yeah, I won't say anything because we're on the air. Okay, so Micmac also, real quickly, the Hearthstone Championship has started and is on a small hiatus and then is going to be starting again at BlizzCon, right? What's been going on that front?
That is correct. So, BlizzCon is finally underway for Hearthstone. The World Championship started yesterday, November 2nd, and they will continue today, November 3rd. They're actually going on right now as we're recording. So there's going to be a break tonight after the games are done. They're doing the group stages yesterday and today. This will continue at BlizzCon November 7th and 8th for the final group stages, the semifinals, and the finals. Just a brief rundown of the casters. We have Frodan, Artosis, Zale, and two current Blizzard employees, Reels, who used to be a streamer and player, now he works for Blizzard, and Ben Brode, the infamous Ben Brode, the senior game designer of Hearthstone, with the most contagious laugh I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, they call him the voice of Blizzard. He's been doing voiceovers at BlizzCons for years.
And they've also been starting to call him the face of Hearthstone.
I can definitely see that he is Hearthstone mm-hmm. himself. So he's a really funny caster to, you know, to listen to. And obviously we have our 16 contestants, and one of the games I was watching today consisted of Kalento and Strifecrow. Probably the two, I hate to say this, but in my opinion, the two best players in this tournament from what I've seen, they went at it today. And I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it was a fantastic, fantastic match.
This show is all about spoilers.
This is true. All right, so one thing I found is Blizzard has given us a little bit of an enigma, for lack of a better word. They posted something today. Zariah posted something called the Innkeeper's Journal Patron Dispenser. And it gives us an excerpt from the Journal of Hearthstone Brew Innkeeper. Everyone's welcome at my inn. There's rarely a dull moment around here. The place is always humming with the sound of patrons busy playing a few rounds of Hearthstone, enjoying a few drinks, and sharing their latest tales, brimming with epicness before heading off to their next adventure. Me, I serve drinks, give some good advice where needed, and make sure everyone leaves with stories to tell their friends. It never ceases to amaze me of all the fantastical ways that travelers make their way to my inn. Some arrive to kick up their heels and throw back a pint after arriving on foot or mount, but some really know how to arrive in style. Why, just the other day, a mage arrived via portal. Sometimes, if you catch the angle just right, you can get a glimpse of where they came from right in the middle. That's always a good icebreaker, and it really puts a smile on their faces when you find some common ground. I'll summon you up a brew, I always say the mages, but they somehow always seem to have their own refreshments on them. Note to self. No outside food or drink at the inn. Now, that is the excerpt. That's all they say. There's nothing beyond that. And then there's a picture of a mage with a giant portal. And on the face of the portal in there is Ironforge. So there's some speculation on two fronts. One is that the next expansion may have to do with Ironforge, may have to do with the gnomes and the dwarves doing something mechanical or otherwise. The other speculation is that they may be throwing a way to get into Hearthstone directly from playing Warcraft. So I thought that was rather interesting. And there's no explanation on this. It's just a quick little story. Do you guys think they're kind of giving us a little dangling, a kind of fun clue in front of us? Or do you think it was an off-the-cup kind of thing?
A dwarf expansion.
Did you guys see some of the things that they've sent, Blizzard has sent, on the mail? They're like blueprints for the Harvest Golem and the Alarmo Bot and the Demolisher. Have you seen those?
In your email?
They've sent it to certain websites and people like BlizzPro and maybe Heart Pound. They've shown like a little postcard that shows a blueprint of the Harvest Golem. And then it says, I hope you like my invention.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, something's going on. That's going to be part of the unveiling. I'm sure of it. Well, maybe it's going to be... I mean, the next card back is Lobbin Goblins. That is the new season's card back. It's going to be based on the goblin stuff. It's got... you know, pipes, and it's got gears, and it's got the goblin green and the rust colored. Maybe there's something going on here.
Maybe there'll be a lot of invention type stuff.
Yeah.
summoning and creating of other cards from cards and
making golems of your own. I don't know if you have three different cards, they all make you have a, you can find a card that's a head, a card that's a body, and a card that's legs, and
yeah,
you put them
like
together.
Hugin and Stalag becoming Thaddeus.
Maybe there's going to be symmetry between pieces of robots or something strange like that. Could be fun.
Maybe this expansion of cards could be all mechanical stuff or mechanically built or made. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So can you help a non-WoW player with some of these locations?
The references?
Yes.
Yes. Ironforge is basically the city of the dwarves. The gnomes long ago lost their kingdom of Gnomergan. It was taken over. And they live with the dwarves.
No. They got at least part of Gnomergan back.
Doesn't count.
In the Cataclysm expansion, they had the gnomes go back to retake Gnomergan, but it's irradiated, so they're kind of just camped out on the surface.
Right.
Of it.
So it's basically the gnomes have been living with the dwarves, and they are just two of the races in WoW on the Alliance side. And the gnomes are known just as much for their inventions as the goblins are on the Horde side. Or neutral goblins too. Just races of characters in the WoW setting.
And there's a WoW skill called a trade skill called engineering. And an engineer, if they want to, can specialize in either gnomish engineering or goblin engineering.
Goblin engineering.
And the fact that we're seeing all this gnome reference and this goblin card back stuff leads us to think that maybe there's going to be some kind of, you know, engineering type theme in whatever is coming. Or it could be a red herring, because Blizzard throws us those all
mm-hmm.
the time.
That's mm-hmm. true.
This is all speculation.
The Dark Below got copyrighted by Activision several months ago, before the announcement of Warlords of Draenor. And so everybody said, oh, Blizzard just took another trademark on a name. I guess the next expansion will be the Dark Below. The trick was, it was Activision, not Blizzard, even though Blizzard's owned by Activision, and it's just been announced recently that The Dark Below is actually part of some other game that's not even Warcraft.
We do have to start wrapping up. There's important news from Autumnsbane about the Hearthstone calendars, and then I want to talk real quick about the new card backs that a shout-out, and unfortunately we're going to have to close after that. So, Autumnsbane, Hearthstone calendars.
Okay, so a Hearthstone calendar, which you can just Google Hearthstone calendar. It might be hearthstonecalendar.com. It's something I mentioned a couple episodes ago. It's really growing, and I'm going to try to get our next tournament when we have it actually listed on there. The podcast list has grown, and if you go to the podcast list, you will, as of today, they have our the time that we record and the day that we record, and it's got all of our little social media stuff attached. There's a button for our feed, a button for our Twitch TV, a button for our Twitter, and it's a pretty good thing. It's really coming along. In fact, I went to see if the Hearthstone community thread has been there, because for a long while, Zariah was posting the local podcasts and streamers all on one thread. And about 2 weeks ago, they mentioned the Hearthstone calendar, and which has all these things, and they haven't posted the community thread since. So I think the calendar kind of took that job off their shoulders. So if you're used to going to the forums to find out what's going on in Hearthstone, you need look only in one place now, and that's Hearthstone calendar.
Very, very nice. Very exciting for us to see ourselves up there, too. I mean, and very exciting for our listeners, because they have so many different ways to access us at their fingertips with that. Lastly, I want to talk about the mini Christmas a lot of us got on the 1st of November. We didn't get one. We didn't get two. We got three card backs. Not everybody did this, but if you have pre-purchased Warlords of Draenor, if you had boughten, yay, English. If you had purchased BlizzCon virtual or real tickets, and if you got to rank 20, There were three different card backs that we got on Monday. Saturday. Saturday. The Hollow's End card back, the Warlords of Draenor, and the BlizzCon card backs. All three were made available to us. So we have lots to choose from, and a new season card back, the Lobbin Goblins, coming out for this current season. Just get to rank 20, so that was kind of exciting. One more thing, we have a shout-out. Nickel Vuffer? Oh, how did you say it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
There's no vowels.
Well, I and A are vowels. They're just kind of spread differently around. Gave us a wonderful 5-star review. If we could pronounce your name, we would give you an actual shout-out.
The person who wrote it on October 28th. Thank you.
Exactly. Mikkel Vuffer.
Mikkeloffin.
There you go. Thank you very much for that lovely 5-star review. Frid, anything else? Thank you for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you guys for having me. I really enjoy the tournament, and I enjoy being on the show.
Will you be in our next tournament?
I'll try to be there.
Awesome.
Now, well, is there anything that you do out there that you want to advertise? Do you do a stream, or do you want to have any kind of social media you wanted to share, or you just kind of just keep to yourself and play and have fun?
Yeah, I actually don't have a stream or any sites yet. Maybe I'll think about it.
Great. Nice. Black Lace Challenge has been postponed until one of the shows after BlizzCon, because we've just got so much to talk about that we haven't really been paying attention to the little challenge that I sent out, which is for us to play each other with the fun 2-mana casts. So you won't be hearing us about that for a while, but we will still be trying to do that. Nick Mack?
Well, Frid, again, congrats on winning the tournament, but technically, you haven't won it all until you beat the former champion.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge. That's a challenge.
And let me tell you something else.
I want a stream of this.
Mind Control Warrior is looking for a nice big old slice of pizza. Put that in the oven.
Is this like a throwdown?
Bring it on.
God, I wanted to send a shout out to Xander, who made it from basically rank 24 to rank 21 while we were doing our podcast. So Xander, congratulations. That's awesome. And on that note, thank you everybody for listening. Happy hearthing.
I'm going to play Heroes of the Storm now.
Bye everybody.
Bye. See you next week. Thanks again, Frid.
Thanks, thank Frid.
You. The end is coming.
Winter is coming.
Is coming.
Ooh, pizza.
I'm stuffed, but I want pizza.
I really like this pizza.
I think I'm gonna have to try that pizza.
Have a little sushi on your pizza, Big Mac.
That was my lunch today.
I recommend pizza. You should try it.
Tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
And Frid, you do realize, you know, everyone wants to eat your deck now, right?
Mic Max sounds like he...